Mark, 2 minutes. One minute. Everyone here is watching displays and listening. Seconds. Getting data. We don't have any voice communication yet, but at the time we got data, indicates it was a very good burn.
Hello, Apollo 10, Houston, over.
Roger, Houston, Apollo 10, you can tell the world that we have arrived.
Roger, 10, it's good to hear from you.
You wouldn't believe this thing.
That was John Young.
The guidance was absolutely fantastic, and we'll give you the burns right now.
This engine is just beautiful. Charlie, my hat's off to the guys in the trench. I love them.
Yeah, kiss that man that runs MSFN.
I don't know what I can do that, though, but I'll say thank you.
Okay, Charlie, ready to copy the burns?
Go ahead.
Yeah, say thank you big. You ready to copy the post-burn report?
Roger, go.
Okay, the burn was on time. The burn time was 5 plus 5, 6. Our roll, pitch, and yaw angles guidance was all good. Our residuals were 0, minus 0.2, and 0. Delta VC read 7.0. That's minus 7.0. The fuel remaining is 37.7%. Oxidizer is 39.5%. The unbalance, I'd like to talk about the present unbalance, is 500 increase. We're in a 169.1 by a 59.6. the chamber pressure increased smoothly throughout the burn from 98 to 103 with no apparent discernible jump at the second ball valve initiation. I take that back, Charlie. It bounced up to 98 and then smoothly from 98 on to 103 with all four ball valves on. The unbalance, are you still with me?
Roger, go ahead. Standing by. Over.
Okay, I watched the unbalance go from where we left it at 200 decrease from the short burns. I didn't touch it until after everything settled down after we were into the burn for 30 minutes. At that time, the unbalance was 300 to 350 decrease. I put the oxidizer flow valve in a decrease position. I brought it up to zero. I closed it, and then it started on up. After it hit about 150 increase, I put it to increase, and it held it, barely held it, and it creeped up from like about 250 to the present point at 500. I actually neutralized the flow valve at about 20 seconds before the burn ended, and when I put it to normal, then the increase went from about 400 to 500.
Roger, we copy, 10. It looks like you really have arrived. It was a great burn.
And the oxidizer and fuel remaining agree very accurately with the onboard graph I have of the helium pressure, which is about 1750 right now.
Roger, we copy, 10.
And the first view I had in the moon was reflected in the overhead window of the LAM. How's that grab you?
Hey, great.
That's Gene Cernan with the post-burn report.
Houston, you have to see this planet to believe it.
Roger, 10. We got Fido looking at the radar residuals are very small. Give us a chance to track a while, and we'll confirm. Over.
Okay, Charlie. You don't think it's the... I think it's confirmed as far as I'm concerned.
Roger, we're committed, Dan. It looks good.
That's John Young who's convinced there.
How's the view, Dan?
We have our astute geologists here overlooking the surface and they'll report a minute.
Roger, standing by. Over.
Okay, we're just passing from the highlands over into the Maury area, and you can pass on to Jack. We caught a couple of real pretty little volcanoes. There's no doubt about them, and we got a couple of good high-resolution photos, and it still looks kind of brownish gray to us here. Over.
Roger, we copy.
Yeah, there was place back there where there's an... There was one volcano, or whatever it was, that... It was all white on the outside, but definitely black around the top of it.
Roger.
Charlie, it might sound corny, but the view is really out of this world.
Roger. We had a couple of comments from the back row that I won't repeat.
Those first words, "we have arrived," were from Tom Stafford, and John Young commented, and then Gene Cernan gave the post-burn report. That was also Tom with reporting two volcanoes, and then John Young came back in with a description of what looked like a volcano with black around the top.
Hello, Apollo 10, Houston. We have a map update for Rev 2 if you're ready to copy. Over.
Stand by.
Okay, Charlie, go ahead.
Roger. For LOS, 774759er. 775827. 783119er. We got a sunrise time of 775140 and a sunset of 791333. Ready for your read back, over.
Okay, Rev 2 is 774759er, 775827, and 783119er. Sunrise is 775140, sunset is 791333.
Roger. Houston, according to IMAPS, we have you coming up on the sea of waves, and to your left, Langrenus.
This is Apollo Control. It's 76 hours, 34 minutes. And as you heard, Gene Cernan reported that burn was right on time. Duration was 5 minutes, 56 seconds. And a murmur of almost of unbelief ran through this control center when they read out those residuals. 0 minus 2 tenths and 0. The onboard reading of the orbit, the lunar orbit, and for Apollo 10 was 169.1 nautical miles. Apolloon, 59.6 nautical miles. Perilune, we were shooting for 60 by 170.
We copy that.
That was Tom Stafford.
Dan, we're expecting an appropriate comment tomorrow.
We'll use the right words. This will be on Fox, Charlie.
Roger.
And the people in the trench that the crew showered the praise on are the flight dynamics officers, whose consoles are on the front row in the control center. That area is referred to as the trench. And Fido wants to get some tracking before he commits himself on the orbital parameters, but he expects them to be right on nominal, very, very close.
We've got Langrenus now out here off the, it depends on which way you roll, but off to the one side here. Brilliant, beautiful, sharp peak right in the center.
Copy, 10.
Yeah, and it appears our water boiler is working too.
All right, we confirm that. We picked it up a moment ago. Hello, Apollo 10, Houston. We're working on a time for you to cross Site 1. And did you attempt the call a second ago? Over.
Negative. I don't think so, Charlie. Over.
Roger.
We're showing spacecraft weight now is 69,493 pounds. Apollo 10 losing a lot of weight in that long LOI burn. The weight at LOS was 93,281 pounds.